بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين، ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد
وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين، روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. اللهم كل وليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. For the hastening and the return of our Imam, please recite the salawat. First, I need to express my condolences on this very sad occasion of the shahada, the martyrdom of the lady Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, the daughter of the Holy Prophet, the wife of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullah alayhi. This lady is truly a role model, a person to learn from for the entire Muslim ummah, male and female. The aspect of the personality of this ma'suma, this infallible, sinless lady, would require many different sessions and ashras to talk about. The personal life of this lady, within the family, with her father, with the Muslim ummah, the social aspect of her life, all of it has got lessons for us to learn from. In these two nights, that inshallah, if Allah allows, we will be speaking in this regard, I want to go over only one aspect very briefly of the life of this lady, Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha. And that is the social responsibility that this lady felt, and she fulfilled the responsibility after the death of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We need to understand what is it, what service did this lady do to every one of us? The fact is that if it was not for what Hadrat Fatima al-Zahra, salamullah alayha, did, we would not have had the Shia and the continuation of the proper message of the Holy Prophet. This is a fact. But the circumstances and what happened after the Holy Prophet and what the lady did, what the others did, many of these aspects are not clear for us. I would like to take this time to talk about this. When we look at history, we have many different ahadith, one of them being the letter of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayh to his son Imam al-Mujtaba, that includes the idea of looking at history and learning from it. When we want to look at this history, there's two aspects we want to learn and we want to benefit from. One is to understand exactly why we appreciate Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra. We need to appreciate her and what she has done for us. This is one aspect. And the other aspect that we would want to take from this is to learn from it. That's what Amir al-Mu'mineen tells Imam al-Mujtaba. Study history as though you lived amongst these people. There's a lot to learn from that. What happened after the Holy Prophet? The best thing that I think we can start off with to understand the events that took place after the Holy Prophet is a story of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi. Now Amir al-Mu'mineen had the responsibility of the burial ceremony of the Holy Prophet who's on the shoulders of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He was supposed to carry out the task of the ghusl, the kafan, and then the burial of the Holy Prophet. So once the Holy Prophet left this world, that's what he engaged in. He engaged in the ghusl and afterwards the kafan. And then the Salatul Mayyit took a few days. They got everybody after Amir al-Mu'mineen in the house. The body was in the house of the Holy Prophet. They performed the Salat over the body. Then groups of people would come to join and perform the Salat. After that came the burial of the Holy Prophet. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayhi was performing that. He had the body in the grave. He used the help of people. Afterwards, the Holy Prophet had told Amir al-Mu'mineen to raise the grave, his grave, above the ground by 4 fingers. So Imam was filling the grave and he was leveling it out. He was using a shovel. Somebody came and told him that the people have gathered in Saqifa. They have pledged allegiance to Abu Bakr, and the Tulaqa, which were the last of the Mushrikeen to accept on the surface the religion of Islam, like Abu Sufyan. Of course, Abu Sufyan was not there. I'm just giving you an example of the Tulaqa. They were the first to accept the allegiance. They pledged allegiance as well. And this is the situation that we have. What are you going to do? Amir al-Mu'mineen was leveling out the grave. He put the shovel in the ground. He straightened his back. He recited the beginning verses of Surah Al-Ankabut. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alif Lam Mim. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون ولقد فتن الذين من قبلهم. Do people think that we're going to leave them just to say we believe and we're not going to test them? And we have tested those before them. And Allah will know those who are truthful and those who are liars. Fitna is the best word that can describe the circumstances after the passing away of the Holy Prophet. This was the worst fitna that happened. It is one of the darkest events that took place in the history of mankind because it caused the deviation of the most perfect religion, the completed religion, which is Islam. I want to talk about this concept of fitna. What is this fitna? And then look at history at that point and see what we can take, what happened there, and what we can benefit from today from this. The best description that one can find of fitna The most concise yet perfect and complete description of fitna is what Amir al-Mu'mineen salawatullah alayhi has given. This is found in Nahjul Balagha and also in Al-Kafi. It's amazing. It's only a few lines. I want to read it to you. And let's see how this applies to that time. Actually, the Imam apparently is making reference to that. This khutbah was given, the sermon is given, during the reign of Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is after 25 years after the event. The Imam addressed the people saying, أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنَّمَا بَدْءُ وُقُوعِ الْفِتَنِ أَهْوَاءٌ تُتَّبَعُ وَأَحْكَامٌ تُبْتَدَعُ. At the beginning of every fitna, there are ahwa'un tuttaba', desires that are followed. You're always going to find at the beginning of a fitna some form of shahwa, a desire to rule. It's got to be something like that. Wa ahkamun tubtada'. You're always going to find ahkam, rulings that are going to be introduced. Bid'ah, this is going to happen. Two. Yukhalafu fiha kitabullah. They start going against the book of Allah. Yatawalla fiha rijalun rijalan. You will find that there is a leadership of the fitna, and you have a following there. That's another aspect. And very importantly, the Imam says, فَلَوْ أَنَّ الْبَاطِلَ خَلَصْ لَمْ يُخَفْ عَلَى ذِي حِجَى. If you ever have only batil, you're not going to be afraid of people getting tricked into accepting it. If you only have lies, if you only have lies, somebody comes and just gives you straight up lies, nothing but lies, it's not something that people are going to fall for. وَلَوْ أَنَّ الْحَقَّ خَلَصْ لَمْ يَكُنْ اِخْتِلَافِ. If it was only haqq that was said, there would be no conflict. Whenever you have a difference, a dispute, somebody's got to be wrong. Either one or both parties have got to be wrong. You can't have both of them right, both of them on the right path, and yet they're fighting over something. No. One of them at least has got to be batil. وَلَكِنْ يُؤْخَذْ مِنْ هَذَا ذِغْثٌ وَمِنْ هَذَا ذِغْثٌ فَيُمْزَجَانْ فَيَجِئَانْ مَعَنْ فَهُنَالِكَ استحوذ الشيطان على أوليائه. They take a little bit of haqq and a little bit of batil. They mix the two. And he says, the Imam says, in this atmosphere is استحوذ الشيطان على أوليائه. This is where you're going to have a group of people going towards deviation and going sidetrack. ونجى الذين سبقت لهم من الله الحسنى. Those who have got some promise from before with Allah, they are the ones that are going to be saved. Brothers and sisters, one of the descriptions that we have in regards to the times that we live in, which is most definitely the times of Akhir al-Zaman, the descriptions that we find in the Ahadith regarding what Akhir al-Zaman is going to look like, we find very, very clear indications that this is the time. We're nearing the time of the coming of the Imam. There's no question. One of the aspects of this time is that there's a lot of emphasis. Be careful, there will be many, many fitnas. Okay, fitna is something that's going to be common. To the extent that people will wake up one morning, they're mu'min and believers, and they will be going to sleep that night while they are kafir, and vice versa. The understanding of fitna, how it works, what happens in this context, so that when we come across it, because we will, we make sure we're not on the wrong side. There's a question that used to bug me about this whole scenario of the Holy Prophet passing away and the concept of Saqifah. You know, we're Shia. Okay. So we believe that Amirul Mu'mineen Salawatullah Alayhi is the first Imam. There is nobody between. There is no successor of the Holy Prophet other than Amirul Mu'mineen before him. This is what we believe in. We believe of a story called the story of Ghadir. And we talk about it. There's Aidul Ghadir. But something disturbs me when I think about it. Ghadir happens on the 18th of the Hajjah of the year 10 after Hijrah. The Hajjah is the last month of the lunar year. Right? When is the passing away of the Holy Prophet? There's two reports. One is 28th of Safar, that's what's generally accepted. There's another report that says it's the 2nd of Rabiul Awwal, 4 days difference, not really important. Either 28th or the 2nd of Rabiul Awwal. 2 months, it's Muharram and Safar. 2 months, and you have how many days? 12 days of the Hajjah. 2 months and 12 days between Ghadir and the passing away of the Holy Prophet. And when you look at the discussions that took place in Saqifah and this Muslim Ummah, this community that was raised by the Prophet, the most successful of the prophets and messengers, this prophet that had raised the people to an extent that in Hudaybiyah, when the prophet wanted to show the mushrikeen how attached the people are to him, he made wudu, people were running to get the drops of the water that are dripping off of the hands of the Holy Prophet. This is the way they loved the Holy Prophet. Yet only 2 months and 12 days, and nobody talks about Ghadir? Are we right? Was there something called Ghadir? Are we just believing it because our fathers did? Thousands of people in Ghadir, those same thousands of people in Medina, the Prophet passes away. Somebody else, he wasn't introduced in Ghadir. What happened? This is fitna. This is fitna. When you look at the discussions took place, it's amazing. Just read history. The Holy Prophet had ordered people, the heads of the Ansar and the Muhajireen, to leave the city. We'd have to have sessions here to talk about what the Prophet did, what hardships he took to make sure this concept of succession after him is implemented. One of the last things he did, one of them, was he ordered the son of Zayd, called Usama, we all know the story. He ordered him to go for a battle with the Romans, and he ordered all the heads of the Muhajirin and Ansar to leave. They supposedly left, but the Prophet passed away. They are there in Medina. Our notion, understanding of The whole story of Saqifah is that we think, yeah, you know, these people got together and, you know, two or three people we all have in our minds. They sat together, they decided to pledge allegiance to Abu Bakr. They set it up. This is... But it wasn't like that. Saqifah was set up by the Ansar, not by the Muhajirin. Saqifah was not set up by the first or second Khalifa or the third. It wasn't. Saqifah was actually set up by the Ansar. The Ansar that the Holy Prophet all the way until the last moments praised them. They cried for him. The Prophet on his last days went to the Ansar and spoke to them. Yet when the Prophet passes away, they're in Saqifah. They were afraid and they knew that Quraysh is not going to accept the Khilafah of Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib. No, that wasn't going to happen. So, being afraid of that, they decided, let's make sure we get a piece of this. Because you know, Ansar, before Islam, they were nobodies. Nobody knew the tribe of Aus and Khazraj. They were nobodies. Amongst the Arabs, one family was important, one tribe, and that was Quraysh. Within Quraysh, Bani Hashim was not the faction that would rule. It was the others, Bani Umayyah, they were the ones who would rule. Ali is from Bani Hashim. He's young. There's a lot of enemies amongst the Arabs. There's a lot of animosity towards Ali. So there's no way that Quraysh is going to accept the Khilafah of Ali ibn Abi Talib salamullah alayhi. So they said, let's talk and let's do something so we have the leadership after the Prophet. This is the first step. The Ansar regretted this all the way to the end afterwards. Because what they thought they were trying to avoid with this actually came on them because of this. It ended up that, you know, they pledged allegiance to Abu Bakr instead. And the Ansar would put aside. The Imam, let's look at the description. The Imam says, إِنَّمَا بَدْءُ وُقُوعِ الْفِتَنْ أَهَوَاءٌ تُتَّبَعُ. At the beginning of every fitna, you need to look at people, you need to find and identify people that are looking for that type of a role. They want leadership, okay? They want that position. Who are these people going to be? I want to focus on this a little bit. The Imam says that يَتَوَلَّى فِيهَا رِجَالٌ رِجَالًا. There's a leadership there and there's people that are going to follow. If I can help us here understand only this one point from the story and try to implement it, learn from it, I think that will be enough for us. Who are going to be those with the ahwa, those with the desires that they're going to be following those desires? Who are the ones that are going to cause ahkamun tubtada'? They're going to cause bid'ah. Who are the ones that are going to go against the book of God? Let's have a correct understanding of this. The way we understand history and we look at it, it's useless for today's application. There's nothing to use from it to apply today. Let's look at the individuals who are considered the leadership here. After Saqifah is set up, you have three individuals from the Muhajirin, they go there. Umar Abu Bakr and Abu Ubaidah al-Hadda. They give an interesting talk, which I would suggest people reading that. They changed the tides. They wanted to vote for the Ansar, wanted to get one of them, Sa'd ibn Ubadah, to become the Khalifa. These guys with their talks, Abu Bakr, he had a nice way of speaking. He was very good with words. He praised the Ansar, "You're such great people," after the Muhajirin. They changed the tides. They got the people in Saqifah to vote for them and appoint them as, or appoint him as the Khalifa there. Then they went on. Let's look at these figures. The Shia, you and I sitting here, we don't have too much of a respect for these individuals. Because what we know what they did, we really don't have too much of a respect for them. Because of that, we're always thinking that, why did the people do that? I mean, wasn't it clear? Wasn't it clear that Ali was supposed to rule? Wasn't it clear that these guys were wrong? Why? We think it was obvious. We do the same thing with Karbala, brothers and sisters. When we hear the story, you know, we cry, we think of ourselves, yeah, you know, if I was there, I would definitely been with, in Karbala, we say with Imam al-Hussein, salamullah alayhi. And in this story, we say, of course, yeah, if we would have been there, we would have been with Amir al-Mu'mineen. Curse those who weren't, very easily and comfortably. It's not like that. If you compare some of the things that have taken place today and we've been involved in and the stances we've taken, we're pretty much doing exactly what they did back then. The difference is we don't have the Imam with us right now. No, it wasn't clear. Why wasn't it clear? The leaders of this movement against the command of the Holy Prophet are prominent figures in the Muslim community. Prominent figures in the Muslim community. We have this notion, an image in our mind, for some reason, that when we do have these types of people, it's wrong to think that they're going to be misleading others. These days, in our Shia, this is like, there's no guarantee, we don't have anything in history that this is not going to happen to the Shia. And by the way, it did happen to the Shia as well. And we think, yeah, we're Shia. No, the Shia did it. At the time of Imam al-Kadhim, salamullah alayhi, some of the prominent figures of the Shia community who were actually representatives of Imam al-Kadhim. When Imam al-Kadhim passed away, they claimed that Imam al-Ridha is lying. Imam al-Kadhim is the Mahdi, he's gone into the occultation. This has happened to us over and over and over. And it will happen to us. We have in hadith, it says that when the Imam comes, those who thought he's going to be one of them are going to go against him. This has happened so many times. When Amir al-Mu'mineen came to power, who went against him? Zubayr was one of the supporters of Amir al-Mu'mineen. He's one of the first to go against him. Prominent figures in the Muslim community. These were the leaders of... You think if some nobody would have done that, people would have followed them? It's the heads of Ansar who have set up the Saqifah. People you would never have imagined that would go against the will of the Prophet. Some of the top Muhajireen that were engaged in that. Some of the first of the believers that are engaged in that. They know the religion, they've participated in the battles, they have a good history. If the same thing happens today, I'm sure most of us are going to be on the wrong side. We don't have a clear vision. If, God forbid, some of the prominent figures in the Shia community that we think, oh, this person is no, I don't want to mention any titles. Okay, let me just give a simple one. Somebody has an imam on their head. Okay, if I, next day, if I had a following, alhamdulillah, I don't have anything yet, and inshallah, I'll never have something like that. But if I did, okay. The imam would come, and I start telling people, you know, the imam knows, what am I going to do for the imam? With my desires and my personality, I'm not going to be able to help. So I'm thinking I'm going to be losing my status, my pull in the community, my authority, because everybody's going to be referring to the imam. So I'll tell people, no, this is not the Mahdi. I know this hadith that you don't know. How would you know I'm telling you the truth or not? There's this hadith in Biharul Anwar. How many are you going to go check? How many have access to go and check? This is what happened. Let me tell you some of the things that they said. In the story of Fadak, when they took Fadak away from Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra salamullah alayha, the lady came to them and asked them, you know, why did you kick my people out of my property? Fadak was given by the Holy Prophet to Hazrat Zahra. Why did you do that? He said, if you're claiming that it's yours, you need to prove it. Where are your witnesses? You need witnesses to prove it. Do you have any witnesses? She said, yes. Who are they? Ali, salawatullah alayh, and Ayman. That's it? Yeah, these are the people that were there. She wasn't going to go take somebody that wasn't actually there and say, could you come and testify for me? No, they're not those type of people. No, there were only two people there that witnessed this. It's Ali and Ayman. He said, well, I would like to give it to you, but unfortunately, the law of the Islamic court is, in order to prove a property is yours, you need either two men or one man and two women. You only have one man and one woman. So that's not going to prove your case. Sorry, you got to find another woman there. Or one other man. When you look at the Islamic court system, that's true. That is true. It's a verse of the Holy Quran. You need one man and two women, or two men. If you have one man and one woman, it's not going to work. He knows his... He knows Islam. It's not going to be a nobody. Amir al-Mu'mineen comes to the masjid. He tells him, this is this part, يُخَالَفُ فِيهَا كِتَابَ اللَّهِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. The imam tells them, are you judging already? Just a few days, you're going against the sunnah of the Prophet? He said, how so? No, I'm telling her she needs to have witnesses, she doesn't have the right numbers. He said, tell me one thing. Is it according to the Islamic law that if you have possession of something, I come and take it from you and I tell you, you have to prove it's yours? That's not part of the Islamic court system. If somebody is in possession of something, they don't need to prove it's theirs. If you have a claim against them, you need to prove your claim. Hazrat Zahra has had her workers there during the time of the Prophet, and after you kicked their people out. She was in possession of the land. You need to prove it's not hers. But at this point, they make a commotion there. Oh, No, don't get us involved with that. You either have the witnesses or you don't have the witnesses. If you don't have the witnesses, this is considered fate. We're going to distribute it amongst the Muslims. Amir al-Mu'mineen is saying, this is the Islamic law. They're saying, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. This is how we're going to deal with it. If it was some nobody, would people have just sat there? Yeah, Ali, the companion of the Prophet, the son-in-law of the Prophet, is saying this. No, these are prominent figures. Another interesting bit. Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayh did not just sit around not doing anything. There's a whole story of what the holy Imam did after the Prophet and why he wasn't involved. He wasn't there in Saqifah. What he was involved with, that's something to talk about and discuss. But when he was done with his obligations, he went to the Ansar. We're going to be discussing that in more detail, inshallah, tomorrow. The role that Hadrat Zahra salamullah alayha played. But regardless, after they went to the masjid in public, Amir al-Mu'mineen started telling what happened to Ghadir. Didn't you all pledge allegiance to me? There was an allegiance that was pledged in Ghadir. It wasn't just an announcement. There's different reports of how that happened, but it's a fact that there was some form of allegiance pledged to Amir al-Mu'mineen. Some say it was salam to say to Amir al-Mu'mineen that As-salamu alayki Amir al-Mu'mineen. Others say there was actually a process of getting everybody to come shake hands with the Imam as the Khalifa after the Holy Prophet. Another explanation and report says that the Holy Prophet said words and told everybody to repeat after him about pledging allegiance. So it was an official pledge of allegiance. So the Imam says, what happened to that? The first Khalifa turns back and says, yeah, that's what happened in Ghadir. But afterwards, the Holy Prophet said that prophethood and Khilafah are not going to happen in the same family. This is أَحْكَامٌ تُبْتَدَعُ. Who can do this? Who can introduce new concepts to the religion that is there? Those who know it, those who are prominent figures. You got to be careful, brothers and sisters. As I said, I'm sure the way we understand history, we don't look at these explanations of Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullah alayh. What we are going to end up doing is the same thing that has happened over and over. We just haven't been in one of these fitnas. We haven't. The people in Medina, other than the Muhajirin, the top Muhajirin and the top Ansar, who are they to be blamed? You can't really blame them. They're just like you and I. Amir al-Mu'mineen says this, Abu Bakr, the close companion of the Prophet, the person who tried to lead prayers while the Holy Prophet was ill in the deathbed, he's claiming that the Holy Prophet said something else afterwards. He changed his mind. This is when Imam says, هُنَالِكَ اسْتَحْوَذَ الشَّيْطَانُ عَلَىٰ أَوْلِيَاهِ. When this ambiguity, this haqq and batil are mixed, things are made unclear, it is when shaitan is going to be benefiting from that. Those who have the agenda, the leadership there is able to move on and carry out their mission, and people are not going to do what is right. In this scenario, it is that Hazrat Fatima al-Zahra has got to play her role. What is her role? Inshallah, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Sallallahu alayki ya binta Rasulillah. Sallallahu alaykum ya ahla bayt al-Nubuwwah. السلام عليكم يا بيت النبوة وموضع الرسالة ومختلف الملائكة ومهبط الوحي. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, O household of prophethood. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, O my beloved Imams, that the angels used to come to day in and day out. Sallallahu alayki ya qurrata ayni rasul. Sallallahu alayki ya Fatimatu Zahra bint Muhammad. Sallallahu alayki ayyatuha al-mazlumatu ash-shahida المظلومة المغصوبة حقها. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, O beloved daughter of the Holy Prophet, O my beloved oppressed lady, the lady that her right was taken away from her. Sallallahu alayka ya amir al-mu'minin. Sallallahu alayka ya awwal mazlum. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon you, my beloved Amir al-Mu'mineen, the first of the oppressed. Brothers and sisters, this pain and this loss, I don't know if I should say it's a grievance of Hadrat Fatima al-Zahra or Amir al-Mu'mineen. Sallallahu alaykum. There came a time in Medina that the Khulafa decided we need to take allegiance from Ali. They sent a messenger telling Ali, the Khalifa of the Holy Prophet is telling you to come. Amir al-Mu'mineen says, how can you claim to be the Khalifa of the Prophet? You know that's not right. The messenger goes back, they tell him to say, tell him Amir al-Mu'mineen is calling you. The Imam says, how can you claim that you're Amir al-Mu'mineen? The messenger goes back, they come and tell him Abu Bakr is calling you. The Imam said, I'm not going to go against the will of the Prophet and approve of this. They got angry and they said, we have to go bring him and force him to pledge allegiance. They took wood firewood to the door of Amir al-Mu'mineen. They called and said, Ali, you need to come out. This time the lady Zahra answered the call. I won't allow you in. In the city of the Holy Prophet, the only one to protect Amir al-Mu'mineen is the daughter of the Holy Prophet. They say, the report says, after the Holy Prophet, she was so saddened that she had gotten skinny and she had tied her head from pain. She was sitting behind the door when they came. She said, I won't let you in. She said, if you don't let me in, we're going to burn the house down. He said, fear God. The lady said, fear God. But they went ahead and put the fire up. They broke the door down. They entered the house. The lady Fatima stands in front of him. She says, I won't let you in. Sallallahu alayki ayyatuha al-mazluma. They use the sword in its case and they beat her on her side, on her ribs. And another one with the whip that they had on her arm. She started calling, Ya Mata! Inside to get Ali. There was a little fight there. Amir al-Mu'mineen, seeing what he did to the daughter of the Prophet, they grabbed a hold of him. He said, you know, if it wasn't for what the Prophet had said, you know what I would have done to you. He called for help. They entered the house. They put ropes around Amir al-Mu'mineen to take him to the masjid. On the way out again, this lady who's pregnant, who's in pain, she's been beaten twice. She is the only one that comes to help and protect Amir al-Mu'mineen again. She comes before and between Qunfud and Amir al-Mu'mineen. She wants to stop them and keep them from taking the Imam to the masjid. A call comes from the commander. What are you waiting for? Why don't you hit her? He starts lashing the lady, Fatima al-Zahra, until they arrive at the door. At the door, Qunfud throws the lady. They say her ribs broke at this point. Sallallahu alaykum. يا أهل بيت النبوة This reminds one of another lady that learned from her mother to try and go and help the Imam of his time, her time. And that's the lady Zainab in Karbala. On the day of Ashura, the time came. They were waiting for the Imam in the tent. They heard the sound of the horse, Dhul Janaah. They came out to see Dhul Janaah is there, but the Imam is not on the horse. The horse is all bloody. Zainab starts running. Wajadda wa Muhammada. She goes on Talla Zainabiyya to sing. Wajjimru jalizun ala sadre. Sallallahu alaykum ya ahla baytin nubuwa. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون اللهم إنا نسألك وندعوك باسمك العظيم الأعظم الأعز الأجل الأكرم بالزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. بك يا الله 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 يا رحمن يا رحيم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك وعلى محبة أوليائك. Allah, we ask you by the right of the Lady Fatima that you hasten the return of our Imam. Allah, we ask you that you prolong the life of and give good health to all of our maraja and especially the leader. Allah, we ask you that you enable us to be the ones who will help the coming of the Mahdi. Allah, we ask you to forgive us all of our sins. Allah, we ask you to forgive our parents of their sins. Allah, we ask you to free all those who are under oppression and especially the believers. Allah, we ask you to relieve all the people in the world of hardship, especially the believers. بالنبي وآله رحم الله من قرأ الفاتحة مع الصلوات.